So we're in these two psalms, Psalm 16 and Psalm 23. And we're going to read them together. Psalm 16 says it's a miktam of David. Some feel this was a musical kind of term. Others say the miktam has come from the word for gold, and so it's one of the golden psalms. Or it could be, it just means it's a silent prayer. And Psalm 23, of course, is just a psalm of David. Psalm 16, then. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad. And my tongue rejoices, my body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Now we turn to Psalm 23, which of course is probably the most well-known psalm in the book. Perhaps we could read this together. Should we read it from the screen together? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John, can you find that verse about the shadow that was up before the service? Because that is the better translation of that verse. The word death is not really there. We haven't died until you get to the house of the Lord forever. That's the one. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In these psalms, the writer, I think, is encouraging himself, and of course those who read them and those who sing them, but he's encouraging himself to put his absolute confidence in God. God is described in these psalms of confidence and encouragement, and some of them some of you read, as a refuge and strength. God is described as someone who is reigning over all. He's in control. God is described as our light and our salvation. He's a rock and a fortress. The Lord is my hope. All these things come through in these psalms of confidence and hope. And what we have to note is this, that first of all, we're talking about the Lord. a very specific person, the Lord. Not any old Lord, the Lord. The one who I have agreed to have charge of my life. The Lord, our God. And in Psalm 16 it says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. So we have to establish, first of all, that we are people who have proclaimed God as our Lord. Then we can move into the Psalms of confidence. Then we can say, yes, we've proclaimed you as Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And so we have the Lord as the Shepherd King. We're going to concentrate mainly on Psalm 23 and just make references into 16 because there are some parallels that come in there. And the first thing that we can see from this psalm, there are two aspects of the psalm that come through. That the Lord is a shepherd, but also the Lord is a friend. And maybe you haven't thought about that one too much, but we'll think about it as well a bit later on. The shepherd one is probably the one that is most talked about. He is Lord. He is in charge. The shepherd is the Lord, and the Lord is the shepherd. And of course, when we move into John's Gospel in chapter 10, we have Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. I am the one who is the only shepherd, not a hireling who runs away from the sheep, but I'm the good shepherd. And David in this psalm, King David, makes himself, as the phrase used to be in Eastern times, as a vassal king. A vassal king was a king who had subjected himself and submitted himself, usually because of conquest, to another king. And he used to pay tribute to that king. And there was a covenant relationship between the king and the vassal king. And the covenant relationship involved paying tribute. And of course we know that the kings of the Old Testament, eventually when they were captured by Assyria and they put in their own king, and that king, Zedekiah, was a vassal king to the king of Assyria. And he had to pay tribute. Oh, and then he rebelled. And here is the picture of David subjecting himself to someone else as his Lord, as his king. So the first thing we learn about the shepherd is that the shepherd is the Lord. The second thing we learn about the shepherd is that the shepherd is the one who provides. He leads the sheep into green pastures. He leads them beside quiet waters, because that's what sheep need. They need sustenance, and they need water. Psalm 16 says, in verses 5 and 6, says, the Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. That doesn't just mean for those of us who live in North Wales. We do have a delightful inheritance up here. It's deeper than that. It's a spiritual aspect of it to our inheritance. He leads us and he provides for us. He makes our lot secure. That's the work of the shepherd. The shepherd who is Lord, and the shepherd who provides. One of my spiritual greats, I suppose, as I've read his biography, his biographies, was George Müller. George Müller was a German, obviously by his name, who came to England as a Christian minister to work among Jewish people in England in and around the 1830s, he first came over. He then became very ill. And he went down to Devon to recuperate his illness, from his serious illness. And he met someone down there in a church where he worshipped, who encouraged him to return with him to Bristol, where they opened schools for disadvantaged children in Bristol. And George Muller relied totally upon God for every provision for all those schools. Then he realized that some children around Bristol were total orphans. And so he established 5 orphanages. There were hundreds and hundreds of children. And he was known, we're told by one of his biographers, as a man who simply trusted God and took God at his word. Especially Psalm 81, verse 10. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And for his 5 orphanages and his 5 schools, he never asked anyone for anything except God. And he used to get up early in the morning, he would pray that God would provide the food and the necessary provisions, the teachers, the staff. There were lots of supporters as they heard about what was going on. He had lots of subscriptions. And what is very interesting too, he had to establish 2 people to be the sort of treasurers, because so much money was coming in. And we're told that every single farthing was recorded and receipted. I mean, that was every halfpenny, penny, shilling and all those other things as well. But everything. Different world. The Lord provided. The Lord provides. He provides for our needs, not for our wants. Jehovah Jireh, remember in Genesis 22, where Abraham was about to offer his son Isaac, and on that altar, the Lord was putting him to the test, and then there was a ram caught in the thicket, and God said to him, "Don't kill your son, take the ram." And he said, "Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides." And many of us can testify where God has provided for us. Not just materially, physically, but emotionally, spiritually, mentally. Not only then he is the Lord, and he provides. He is the Lord and provides and guides. Because he leads me. He leads me to the green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. And in Psalm 16, we have verses 7 and 8. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand, and I will not be shaken. God is the one who leads, guides, and instructs. If ever you're going on a serious mountain expedition, you really need a mountain guide. And you need a mountain guide who's been there before, who knows the way in all weathers, and will direct us to which is the best path to take. Jesus has been there before us, the Good Shepherd. And he's the one who guides. But not only does the Good Shepherd, the Lord, provide and guide, he also shares. He shares with us in those tough times. That verse of the dark shadow valley. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. Yes, he does. But even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He shares with me those times. And I think the psalmist here is reflecting his own shepherding when he says, because the shepherd has a rod and a staff. Now, this is the staff, it's the crook. It's the one that keeps the sheep on track. It's the one who walks alongside. This is where the shepherd, not walking out in front, here is the shepherd escorting the sheep. He's alongside them in the darkest valley. And if it's necessary to guide them, he guides them. If it's necessary to grab them round the neck with a crook, he grabs them. And that's why the bishops of the Church of England have a crook, because they're supposed to be the shepherds. The shepherds of the sheep. The rod is the sort of cudgel for defence. It's a thinner handle, and it goes out into a larger head on it. And so the shepherd has a cudgel as well as a crook to guide. The staff is for control. The cudgel or the rod is for defence. And so God, the Lord, who is our shepherd, is the one who not only controls us and guides us and enables us to go through the valley of the shadow, he's also the one who protects us when we're there. And that's why I think it's so often we learn lessons when we're in the valley of the shadow. We learn the lessons of life because he escorts us. And you've seen the colour parties in the royal occasions and the various things, the trooping of the colour. The colour, the flag, is carried by someone who is totally unarmed. But beside him there are the escorts who are armed. Armed to the teeth, usually. And so the escort is there to protect the colour. God is our escort. And you see, the picture here then is the shepherd, the Lord, who provides, guides, and shares, the picture is a pilgrimage. The picture is a journey of discovery, if you like. And Psalm 16 reminds us that this is true, verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You've made known to me the path. Here we are on a journey. I often think of those two on the road to Emmaus, you know, when Jesus drew alongside them, and they really didn't know he was there, and he taught them loads of things, and then he was made known to them through the breaking of bread. They were on a pilgrimage, and suddenly they had the breakthrough where they knew it was Jesus. So the picture in this psalm is of a shepherd. But in the last two verses, there's another picture that comes through. The heavenly king receives David, the vassal king, into his house in friendship. And the covenant relationship that existed in Eastern covenants was often concluded with a fellowship, friendship meal. That's why we've got the Lord's Supper. It's not just a sort of ad hoc thing that Jesus said, we Passover, it's probably a good opportunity, we'll just sort of take it on board as it's Passover, we might as well use Passover to remember my death. And no, it's much more significant than that. The covenant relationship that we have with Jesus is demonstrated in the fellowship meal, where the bread and the wine is taken. And he says, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Although there's lots of people outside in the world around us, you prepare a table for us. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. The anointing with oil was the welcome. It was often done. The woman who anointed Jesus' head, the sinful woman, was welcoming him into her life, into her heart, showing she wanted to change. And the oil of anointing is the welcome. He prepares for us to eat together. To welcome. I think this is where the debate is on these two verses. Yes, this could be about when we get to heaven and in glory. But I think it also applies now. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, it's now as well. We will be in fellowship with the Lord forever now, if we've made him our Lord. Because Jesus said, no one can pluck them out of my hand. The enemies round about, they can't pluck you out of your hand. Who can separate us from the love of God? Can tribulation or distress right fall? Can famine or sword or enemies? No, we can't be separated from the love of God. We're in fellowship with him. We're around his table. And he remains with us forever and ever. He's not the kind of friend who pops in and pops off. And of course, as we move on from John 10, where he says he's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, you move on into John 15. And those verses that we read right near the beginning of our service, where we read how Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know the master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I've learned from the Father, I have made known to you. And so this lovely psalm of confidence, where David is putting his confidence in God, in Psalm 16 and in Psalm 23, there is the picture of this journey, this pilgrimage, with a shepherd, sometimes walking ahead of us, leading us, sometimes walking beside us, escorting us. And of course, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, the one who is called alongside to help us. And the picture of the friendship that we have in communion with him when we know him as Lord and Saviour. The Shepherd King, the Lord. The Shepherd Friend, the Saviour. Some of you will remember, it must be 3 years ago, I suppose, when we went to the States, we went on Route 66. Route 66 is one of the first paved highways, to put it in American. In other words, it was one of the first roads that got tarmac in the States. It goes from Chicago, Illinois, hundreds and hundreds of miles through 9 states, right across to California, to Los Angeles. And the maxim is that when you're on Route 66, you're always going somewhere. We went on it just down from Chicago, or part of it down from Chicago to Springfield, Illinois. And that's where we stopped. But there was always other places to go. And whichever way you're going, you're always going somewhere. Either you're going to the East Coast, or you're going to Los Angeles, or you're coming back. And there are so many wonderful places on Route 66. You remember the story I told? There's a place called Normal, and there's a place called Oblong. And the local press evidently highlighted a marriage, and it said, Normal girl marries Oblong man. Or was it the other way around? Always going somewhere with Jesus. And in the Psalms, I think that's the picture of the journey. We're always going somewhere. And so there are verses in the Psalms to help us along the way. And these Psalms are the Psalms of confidence. There's a few years ago, I got entitled a modern version of Psalm 23. The Lord is my pace setter. I shall not rush. He makes me stop at quiet intervals. He provides me with images of stillness which restore my serenity. He leads me in ways of efficiency through calmness of mind. and his guidance is peace. Even though I have a great many things to accomplish each day, I will not fret, for his presence is here. His timelessness, his all-importance will keep me in balance. He prepares refreshment and renewal in the midst of my activity. And by anointing my mind with his oils of tranquility, my cup of joyous energy overflows. Truly, harmony and effectiveness shall be the fruits of my hours. For I shall walk at the pace of the Lord and dwell in his house forever. Let's pray together. If that's what we need, Lord, then set our pace, we pray. And so to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with us tonight and remain with us always. Amen.